Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, then we'll get started with our worship service. Someone placed a ring up here on the pulpit. I'm assuming they found it. May have been. I did not say it. But it's a ring, so it's up here on the pulpit. If you lost one, take a look at it. And you have thrown me completely. Let me regroup, okay? But we'll leave it right here on the pulpit, and you can take a look at it after the service. You may know who it belongs to. Dana, the cleaning lady, may have found it in one of the rooms or something on that. Had 34 in Sunday school this morning. Praise the Lord for that. I'd like to encourage you to come visit us in Sunday school. We have classes for all ages, and we have in all the classes, we have a good time. Not only, you know, we fellowship, but we also discuss and teach God's Word, which is very important on that. So please remember that. Our Annie Armstrong goal was $1,500. Be in prayer for that. Also, the envelopes are in the pews, or if you write a check or something, you can just designate it to Annie Armstrong and go to that. Do not forget the men's supper and meeting March the 21st at 7 p.m. here at the church. Remember, on March the 24th, we'll have the Lord's Supper during the a.m. service, and also a fellowship meal after the service on March the 24th. Trunk of Hunt, March the 27th, that's Wednesday at 6 p.m. You'll be hearing more about that also. But please come and participate in that, a way that we can share with the community and all about God. Easter sunrise service will be here March the 31st. That is Easter at 7 a.m. A meal will be provided. Breakfast will be provided and hosted by our church after the sunrise service. So be in prayer for that. Also, we need whoever can to meet that Saturday. Did we, what time?
We said 4, but we probably need to make it a little bit early.
Yeah. Yeah. Meet here at the church Saturday before, that would be on the 30th if you can, to help us set up for the meal and also decorate and things like that for the sunrise service. You can just meet us here about 2 o'clock. On Saturday the 30th on that. Choir practice today at 5:15. Titus 2 ladies, that's a lot, y'all. Titus 2 ladies meeting April the 8th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. Food, fellowship, and door prizes. Jennifer Williams will be the guest speaker. Theme, Driving Miss Daisy. Who is driving you? Okay. Good movie.
It is. But, who's going to play Morgan Freeman?
I know. The other team. RSVP by April the 1st. Miss Amy, if you will.
And on that one, I forgot to tell you, our men will be serving us on that. I forgot to tell
y'all
about that. I'm sorry. If you men could serve us that
night. Amen. So we'll hear more about that as it approaches and all. Any other announcements, y'all? I know that's a lot, and we'll try to have everything in the bulletin and all, and flyers and everything like that. Just, continue to be in prayer for all those. Any other announcements? If not, we'll get it later. Birthdays. Any birthdays. Okay. As we go to our opening prayer, our prayer time, and then we'll have a mission video after our prayer time, Shonda, if you're able. able to show that. We do want to continue to remember those on our prayer list, and also this morning we just ask you to continue to remember Ashton King and also remember Phyllis Crosby this morning.
Remember Mike goes this week too for an unboxing, so let's keep him in our prayer.
Mike Bond is at Atlanta now. He didn't have to travel back to Atlanta. So remember Mike as he travels back to Atlanta for a biopsy this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. And as we open up our worship service today, Lord, with a prayer time, Lord. Lord, as we even talked about in Sunday school today, Lord, we want to praise you, Lord. And what we want to praise you for, Lord, is for your steadfast love, for your loyalty, for your faithfulness, as we talked about, for your kindness, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to lift up our praise to you today, Lord, and on you only, Lord. Lord, we do just ask a special prayer for those on our prayer list, especially continue to remember Mike Bond as he'll be traveling back to Atlanta, Lord, and give them traveling graces, Lord. And we pray for the results of the biopsy, Lord. We always pray that they'll be good, Lord, for Ashton and Phyllis today, Lord, as they go through their sickness, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with them and heal their bodies today, Lord, and just continue to comfort and be with them, Lord. Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today as he comes to us today, Lord, to proclaim, and yes, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, this morning. Lord, we know that the scripture is important, Lord, and I just pray that you just lead and guide him, Lord, as he leads us through the scripture today in Matthew, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Yeah. That was long. Good job.
Never life thoughts would be together here. My name is Elijah Iba, and my home in Denver is a long way from where I grew up. I grew up in the northern part of Ethiopia, and it is very amazing how God led IMP missionaries to my village. They told me about Christ, and so I went to my brothers, my friends, classmates, and told them how Jesus saved my life. But biblical religion, it is a foreign religion. So Lema was one of them that picked us and take to the prison. Kazan will be getting a bit. When first the bush was at Rosalana Pala, Katarabot Kuala. Allah, you know, everybody in America. In Navita Senor, the American Matatu Chilera. Kazawala, Allah, you know, Vita Sabu, the American Nivatu, sponsor the Red Match. After I arrive here, and when I see the situation, the Ethiopian population, the need, we have to use every single opportunity to bring people, to draw people to Christ. Because in Africa, you can go to the streets and just share your faith, and people will gather. But it's always a challenge to plant a church in America.
አሁን እዚህ አዲስ ክርስቲያን አዲስ የተወለደ ስለሆነ
we have come together, so please help us so that I and Lema can make Jesus known.
That's special. You know, it's special being a part of God's church, Whitman Baptist Church. Just want to thank everybody for prayer. You know, there's a reason that God says for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as somehow in Hebrews 10:25 tells us that. And there's a reason. There's a lot of strength and love. We come together and worship our Lord and love each other. And I just want to thank all of you for your prayers for Ashton and all the people that we love here at Whitman Baptist Church is special. So tell people to come to church and be a part of all this good stuff that's going on here at Wigan Baptist. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 425, He Keeps Me Singing. And so we'll sing all five verses.
Peace be often known.
4. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
take your Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Do you want to kind of give everyone an update? I know I've spoken to some of you today. I'm getting a lot of ringing back here. And it ain't my phone. but anyhow, I just want to kind of update you on my mom. As far as I know, everything's still going good. Hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday they'll be able to put her in rehab. She is right now still in ICU, and she's still really weak, and so there's a lot of work for them to do on her to get her to the point where she can go back home. But I do want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers. It does mean a lot to know that when you're going through tough times, somebody's praying for you. And so thank you for that. Before we get into our passage for this morning, how many of you think it's important to hear the Word of God? Anybody here? I hope we all feel that way. Romans 10:17 says this, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You see, my words really have no value. Amen? You can call me a hot air balloon or bag of hot air or whatever, that's fine. But God's Word is what changes lives, is what changes our hearts and our minds to be able to understand, to comprehend what the Word of God tells us. In the parable we are going to look at this morning, it's a very familiar passage. If you grew up in church, you were taught this in Sunday school. And it is applicable in many different areas of our lives, because one thing you realize as you begin to study the Word of God, the meaning of God's Word never ever changes. Amen. It can't mean something today. It didn't mean 4,500 years ago. And I know we got a lot of churches today that want to reinterpret what it means, but you can't, because the meaning has to be the same as when it was written, the original intent of authors. But can I tell you, the Word of God is a living Word of God, because although it means the same thing today as it did when it was written, how we apply it to our lives today applies differently than maybe it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. So how we apply it to our lives. But I do want to, as we read this passage this morning, I want you, through the Holy Spirit, because we're good at deceiving ourselves, right? I want you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to examine your life to see if you have a good heart or not. I want you to look at the soil of your heart and see if it is receptive to the Word of God. Because sometimes we can be raised up in church and we can become so numb to the things of the Holy Spirit. You know why that happens? Because if you hear the same things over and over again, what do you normally do about it? You block them out. Right? And if you don't want to confess your sins and repent of them, then your heart becomes hardened to the Word of God. That can happen to a preacher, it can happen to a Sunday school teacher, it can happen to somebody sitting in a pew. Our hearts can become hard to the things of God, especially when we refuse to obey Him. Let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13 in verse 3. Says, then he, meaning Jesus, spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured him. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth.
But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some of a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I want us to go ahead and look over to verse 18 now. Because the good thing about this parable is we don't have to guess what Jesus was meaning. Amen? It don't take a theologian or somebody who's been in the ministry for 500 years to tell you what this passage means. Jesus tells us himself what this means. And if you've been here enough, you know that I describe a parable as a earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. In other words, Jesus is speaking this parable to us in a way we can understand. But then he comes back and explains what is going on here. So let's go ahead and read verse 18 on down through verse 23. Jesus said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone does what? Hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. And does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown into his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on a stony place is this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes what?
Unfruitful.
It's an interesting statement. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. We pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have read your word, Lord, you've already shared the parable and you've already explained it. So, Lord, we know what the meaning is. Lord, I pray through the Holy Spirit you would help us to apply it to our individual lives. Lord, help us not to think of somebody else, but Lord, help us to look into our own lives. Lord, help us not to be deceiving. Help us not to believe the lies of Satan, but to truly examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is important to hear the word of God. In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's words. That's interesting, right? People don't listen, right? Maybe because they don't have God. But it goes on and says, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Some people don't want to hear the word of God. Amen? That is a fact of truth today through our society. People do not want to hear the word of God because they don't want God, so they're not going to listen to anything he says. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, according to this same parable in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus gave the meaning here. It says, if you don't understand this parable, then how will you understand all the parables? You see, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. It gives us discernment. But one thing is true with all of God's word, we're not to just be hearers of God's word, but we're to be what? James 1:22. We are to be doers of the word. Because here again, when we do not do the word of God, our hearts become hard. Because we hear it, but then we're going to say, well, you know, that's not me. You must really not be telling me to do that because I can't do this. I can't. Remember Moses when he stood before the burning bush? He tried to give God all kinds of reasons why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And every single time Moses made an excuse, God shut his mouth. Amen? Because God was able to use him and whatever means he had to accomplish God's purpose. This parable is important because each and every one of us are in this parable. I'm in it, you're in it, all of us are in it. Jesus helps us to understand. And there's three basic parts of this parable that we're going to talk about today, but I'm going to give you 8 points, amen? There's three quick points to it. One, the sower went out to sow. He went out to sow. Number two, he scattered the seed. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I remember planting ryegrass and food plots down in Florida, and when we'd go through there and plow it with the dirt, we didn't want to cast all the ryegrass out into the pine trees. We wanted to keep it on the good ground that had been tilled. But you know, sometimes when we do that, when the seed is scattered, it ends up in being in places we didn't intend for it to be. The sower went out to sow. He sowed the seed. Some, if not all, of the seed fell on the ground. If every seed that is pollinated germinates in the ground and springs up, it should produce a what? A crop. It should produce itself again, at least. And you know what the reality is? We call ourselves Christians, but how many of us are reproducing other Christians? I didn't hear amen. It's intended for a seed that when it is planted, it reproduces itself. But to get a one-to-one ratio on a seed to a plant or another seed, that's crazy. Anytime we plant anything, if you're going to plant one potato on Valentine's Day, do you expect to get one potato in return? No, why not just eat the potato you had, right? Go through all that trouble. Put another in the cooking, right? Oh. The ground. So you see, this parable is not really about the seed, and it's really not about the sower, but it is about the ground that the seed falls on, that the sower casts, because every one of our hearts determines what we're going to hear. When you came in here today, did you prepare your soul ahead of time? Did you prepare the ground of your heart before you ever come in the doors of the church? Because here's the thing, in my ministry, even before I went into the ministry, sometimes, you know, you stand around at the back of the church or the front of the church, whichever one you want to call it. You're standing there, people are coming in and out, and they're talking, and you know, you're not eavesdropping if they're talking out loud. Amen? And they come behind us. Sometimes people will say, well, I just didn't get anything out of that. And I'm not meaning here. I'm talking about past. I didn't get anything out of that. Or maybe they're talking about the Sunday school lesson. I just didn't get anything out of that. You say, well, you know, there is a point where it could be the person who's scattering the seeds, casting in the wrong places. That's understandable. But as I said, this parable is more about the type of soil that the seed is falling on than the seed itself. Because in this parable, Jesus is the one casting the seed. He is the one who went out to sow, right? And the seed that he is scattering is the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know Jesus is good and the gospel is good, right? But it falls on four different types of ground. Jesus says he's explaining this parable to his disciples, his followers, the same listen. First thing we see is the seed that falls on the wayside. It's good seed, right? The sower's good. But the seed falls on the wayside, and you say, well, what is that? Well, growing up, my best friend's dad, we did hay in the summertime. Anybody y'all here do not the rolls, the square bales, right? And growing up and working in the fields and everything, you did not drive across the hay field. What did you have to do? You drove in the gate and you drove around the hay field. Unless you were baling hay, cutting hay, that was the only time you were allowed to drive across the hay field. But what happens in those situations? The ground that's on the edge gets what? Packed down. It gets hard. And so if you're going to go back and scatter more seed later on, then more than likely those birds that like those fence rows, what are they going to do? They're going to be waiting for you to scatter that seed, and as soon as it comes out and lands there, they're going to swoop in and take it away. Now, Jesus tells us that the evil one will come. In another gospel, it says Satan. Satan will devour that seed that is sown. You know, sometimes for us, we can come to church, have good intentions. Amen. I hope every single one of us comes to church expecting to have time with God, to worship Him, to praise Him. But we should also come to hear from Him. And we should come to respond to Him. You see, sometimes Satan wants to snatch the seed away, and we allow him to. You know how sometimes we do that? We do that by thinking about what we're having for lunch after we leave church today. I hope the preacher run along today. I hope my roast don't burn. Right? I know, y'all. We think about other things. And Satan's using those things to distract us because he don't want that seed to take root. He don't want that word of God to change your life. He wants to throw in every other thing. Sometimes we distract ourselves. Satan ain't got to do nothing. And I know I said that. Sometimes Satan don't have to do anything to us. We do it to ourselves. Cell phones. I know they got your Bible app on them. Amen. But sometimes we ain't using the Bible app. Is that God speaking to you or the devil speaking to you? I'm just being honest. Satan can't wait to get that seed that's falling on the wayside. Because he don't want your life to change. He wants you to stay just like you are. But God wants to do something new in your life. And he wants to change you to become what he wants you to be. But you can't hear him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I liked, you know, sometimes you just wonder how things happen. And I don't call it coincidence. I think it's the will of God. Look on the front of your bulletin. Anybody read what the verse is? Let's pull up Hebrews passage. Hebrews 4:12 says what? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the word of God is what we need to get inside of us so that he can change us to become who he wants us to be. In 1 Peter 1:23, what I was meaning by that was I had no idea that was going to be on the front of the bulletin today. That verse and how God uses things and how we think about how God's word wants to do things in our lives. 1 Peter 1:23, listen to what Peter said. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible or perishable seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. You see, it's important for that word, that seed, to get into our lives and not be distracted and not be the type of soil that the seed falls on the wayside. We need to be good ground. We need to have our hearts prepared beforehand. In Matthew 13, I want this not the way it is on it. Verse 15 in this same passage where in between there says, for the hearts of this people have grown what? He was talking to people who claim to be religious, right? Who may have been followers of his, but the word had fallen onto deaf ears, so to speak, to those who were dull of hearing. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. You God has a plan for our lives, but are we listening to what that plan is? Mark 4:15, Jesus talks about that wayside soil, and he said, these are the ones that hear where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. John 10:10, first part of that verse says that Satan comes to do what? To steal, kill, and to destroy. So Satan wants to destroy your life. Jesus comes that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. He wants to produce in us his righteousness, his grace, his forgiveness, and all those things. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. That's what Paul says here. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are man. You see, Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly, have eternal life. And Satan is the one that wants to pull the veil over our eyes where we can't see. He wants to close our ears where we don't hear the word, so that we can't be changed. And God's offered us all these things. And Paul says, listen, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Peter said, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that what? That all should come to repentance. But you know, we sit in church sometimes and we don't want to hear. Maybe the reason we don't want to hear is because we don't want to be changed. Because we don't want to do what the Lord wants us to do. We're comfortable, right? How many of you, how many of you sit in the same pew every week? Come on, we're in church. Why do we do that? We don't like nothing to change. I'll just illustration how we do, and I'm not knocking either of us because I sit in the same spot too. What I'm saying is that life can become comfortable, and we know we can be predictable. We know what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And, you know, every week the bulletin's the same. You know, Miss Phyllis sitting here today, so Brother Tim did the bulletin for us. So things look different, but that's okay because change is good. That's what God desires in us, is change for the better, change for His honor, His glory. But if the word of God falls on hard ground, and and Satan comes and snatches it away, it's hard to produce crop from that type of soil. Second kind of soil that Jesus described was that of being stony. You know, you see people sometimes that receive the Lord joyfully, immediately. And that's what Jesus said. They received it with joy. They were very receptive, but there was a problem there. Because in the problem, the ground wasn't the problem. There were stones in it, right? And so the stones under the ground had caused the soil, and when the seed fell on it, that the rocks get hot pretty quick in the sun. And you got a little bit of moisture around them, and the seeds start sprouting up. But then when the dry season comes, what happens? They wither away. Why? Because they had no depth in there. Now, I want to make a challenge here that you probably never heard put this way. Because what concerns me about this passage is that when Jesus said they had no depth, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not growing. Can I get amen? You're not growing. Your spirituality is about this deep. And when hard times come and troubled times come, when the loss of a loved one, your family situations go crazy, your faith begins to falter and wither away. Why? Because you had no depth. But now I want to make a challenge for the church too. Because sometimes we are good at bringing people down the aisle, say this prayer, amen. Get baptized. Put your name where? On the church roll. Forever you are saved. And then we don't disciple. How can people grow stronger in their faith if they're not being led to grow deeper in their faith and what they believe and why they believe? The number one mission field for the Jehovah Baptist cult, I'm just going to call it what it is where? Southern Baptist churches. Why? Because many of us do not believe, we don't know why we believe what we believe. And that is a condemnation to us, because we should know of anybody, because we know of the grace, love, and forgiveness of God, but it also should cause us to have a deeper faith that we are growing in Him. The stony ground. We need to realize that in a Christian life there's going to be troubles. Amen. Sometimes we tell, oh, just trust Jesus and everything in your life's going to be just fine. Can I tell you that's a lie from Satan? Amen. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. But I have overcome the world. You see, our faith should get us through the hard times. Our faith in Jesus is going to carry us through those times where we don't know when's up, if we're up or down. When we don't have a clue of what tomorrow holds, Jesus is still the rock we can cling to. Third type of soul is what I believe is probably one of the biggest problems in churches today. And I'm not talking about just Wigan Baptist or any other church, but as a whole, it's the things of the world. The things of the world, Jesus said, these are the thorns and the weeds, because they're planted together. And y'all come back tonight, we're going to talk about counterfeit Christians, okay? Y'all come on back, and I know y'all going to get a double dose, but that's okay. Here's the thing. So many of us, we want to take a little bit of Jesus, right? And what do we want to do with him? We want to mix him in with our lives. We want, it's kind of like, how many of y'all like, and I'm going off deep in that, how many of you like Parmesan cheese? Remember that? About half of y'all. Now see, when I have a bowl of spaghetti, I don't want just a little bit of Parmesan cheese. I want more Parmesan cheese than I got noodles and meat. Not quite that much, but I want it to make a difference. Amen? And that's what we need to do with Jesus. Let's go and sprinkle a little bit on top, but let him get inside of us and change us from the inside out and make us who he wants us to be. You see, the soil looked good. And it was. But it had weeds and thorns in it. And what normally happens? What is growing in your yard right now? Where the grass used to be. You got better grass or better weeds? They were all planted together, right? But what eventually happens in your yard, just like ours, we got weeds about this high and the grass is about that high. And in those weeds, you got weeds that spread out and choke out the grass around it, the milkweeds and everything else, right? And then you got these other, what they call, I can't remember the exact name of them, but they're like little stinging things. They're almost like bigger weeds, but they got three little hooks on them. And when you step out there in the yard barefoot, guess what happens? And then you got the stinging nettles and everything else, right? The weeds take over, and left unchecked, what is going to survive? Will the grass survive or the weeds?
The weeds.
And you see, that's what happens in our lives a lot of times, because we're feeding, we're not feeding the grass, so to speak. We're not feeding our souls. We're letting the weeds, the cares of this world, the troubles, the deceitfulness of riches that's clogging our minds. And we're so concerned about keeping up. Nobody here is named Jones, right? We're so worried about keeping up with the Joneses and all the things around us. And we're afraid of what somebody else is going to think about us. When we should be more concerned about what Jesus thinks about us. Then Jesus tells us about the good ground. It falls on good ground. And Jesus said that, man, this ground here will bear some 100, some 60, and some 30. What's important isn't the 100 or the 60 or the 30. What is important is that we're bearing fruit. We're bearing fruit. We're allowing God to change us, and at the same time he's changing us, we should be influencing the lives of others so that they can come to know Jesus also. But we should be reproducing ourselves as Christians into the lives of others so that they too can be Christians. Luke 8:15, Jesus, in this same parable, Luke records, it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, what was the word? God's word and the gospel, right? Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, did what? Kept it. What does kept it mean? They did it. They obeyed it. The hearers, no doers in the word, right? And not hearers only. They kept it, and when they kept it, they did what? They bear fruit with patience. That should be a model for each of us, that we hear it, but we don't just hear it, we act upon it, we do it, we keep what God says. And then when we do, we bear fruit. So what is the secret to bearing fruit for us today? Now, I think it's very important that we hear the word of God, that we we spend time each day reading God's Word. Just how much should I read? As much as you want. Read it. Read a chapter a day. Read 5 verses a day. But can I tell you, don't just read it and say, okay, well, I'm checking off this box. Read it, and if you want to, reread it. So, but that didn't make sense. I'm going to read it again. Good, I do that a lot. I was taught in college to read the passages 20 to 50 times before you preach. You want to know everything about it. The ins and outs, ups and downs, who did this, who were they kin to. I mean, the whole nine yards. You do it. Now, do I do that every time now? No. But what I'm trying to make is this. If we don't spend any time in God's Word, how in the world can we expect to grow in our faith, in the depth of our faith? Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know this passage well because I wrote it well. How do we become people who bear much fruit? I believe it's what Paul says here. We've come to a place in our lives where we just say, Lord, it's you. It's you. It's your way. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. That means I'm not going out and shooting myself in the head. I'm trying to die to myself so that I can live for Him. Right? But in doing so, He's already given me the instruction book. I just need to read the directions. And I know us guys aren't good at reading directions. Amen? We just try to put it all together, and then when it don't work, then we get out the instructions. Can I get amen? Yeah. But Paul goes on to say that we're a living sacrifice, but that we're also to be holy, right? That means I'm doing what God wants me to do. And the things I do are acceptable to God, which is our reasonable. Sir, what does reasonable mean? It means bare minimum. Right? It means bare minimum. But you know that's how many of us live. Bare minimums. Well, I'm only going to do this because that's what's required of me. Right? Bare minimum. Paul said that's our reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, but do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we produce fruit for God? By presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. That means, well, if God wants me to read the Word of God every day, then that's what I need to do. If I need to be praying every day and asking God's will for what He wants me to do, what do I need to do? I need to pray. But can I also say this to you? Some of us need to plow our ground. We need to plow our ground. We need to plow up our heart. We need to check inside of ourselves. And we need to look at those hard places and ask God to break down those hard walls. Amen? So that when the seed is cast, it can fall on good ground. Some of us need to have those stones removed. And those stones are what? They're not kidney stones. They are sin obstacles in our lives. That when the seed, the Word of God, falls on those places, those stones are the sins in our lives that we're still allowing to have control and have places in our lives that's keeping the Word of God from growing down into our lives. Same way with the weeds and the thorns. We need to get them out. And we do that by learning what the Word of God says and doing what the Word of God says. And it helps get rid of those weeds and those sins in our lives and those thorns. Because sometimes even we as Christians can be people that other people don't want to be around. Because we say mean things to others. We talk about others in ways that does not uplift and encourage them. And it really makes them just want to back away from us, because if you've ever grabbed a hold of a rose bush, a rose bush puts out pretty roses, but it has a lot of what? And you don't just reach up there and grab them. Some of our lives are like that, though. Sometimes we just need to plow our ground. Listen to what Hosea 10:12 says. Hosea says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." What does fallow ground mean? It means unplowed. It's unplowed ground. Remember the wayside? Remember the fields that hadn't been planted in a long time? What did the farmers do? They just go out there and start casting seed. What do they do first? Plow. Give a couple more verses. We'll close. Jeremiah 4:3. Jeremiah says the same thing. Break up your fallow ground. Do not sow among the thorns. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind. That means for us to prepare our minds for action. That is what you and I need to do. Listen. We know there's a value of God's word being planted into our minds. But you know what? You and I have to make a conscious decision every time we come before God's word. Whether it's in your home reading it, whether it's in church, listening to a pastor, whether it's in a Sunday school class, listening to a Sunday school teacher. Are you praying, God, plow my heart, my mind, so that I can hear it, but so that I can also receive it? But that's not where I want it to end. I want it to produce in me. Maybe it's 30, maybe it's 60, maybe it's 100, but whatever it is, Lord, use your word to grow me. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you say, well, you know, I've never trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can I invite you to come forward and say, Brother Tim, I'm not sure. I can't save you, amen, but I can try and introduce you to the one again. But maybe today we would say, you know what, I've got places in my life that I know God needs to deal with and I haven't allowed him to deal with. Maybe there's some root of bitterness. Maybe there's some sin that's taken hold in your life that you just can't get rid of. And maybe you need God just to help remove those stones. Maybe those weeds that Satan's trying to plant among the good seed is taking hold in your life and choking out your spiritual growth. Maybe you're a thorny person that nobody can get around. Maybe today you just need to say, Lord, make me more like you. But our prayer should be today, if nothing else, Lord, help me produce the fruit you want me to produce. Help me to become the Christian you want me to be. Will you stand with me? In the Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, knowing that kind of went a little long today. But Lord, it's important for us to understand you and your word and to apply it to our lives today. And Lord, I pray that your word has taken root in our hearts and that we have put our faith and trust in you. But Lord, here's the ground that we have an issue with, the soil. Lord, that sometimes chokes out what you're trying to do. So, Lord, I pray that whether it's stony ground or ground with the weeds and thorns in it, Lord, whatever it may be, or if it's the ground that's so packed hard that nothing can get through, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to break it up. through your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that you can produce in our lives the fruit you're looking for. Lord, I pray that you have your way in this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you move in our hearts, Lord, to just say yes to you and no to the things of this world. Lord, have your way as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.